Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Clerk may take the final roll.
31 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the call today.
The prayer today is by Pastor John Tyndall of the Northern Lights United Church. Will members please rise for the prayer?
Let us pray. If we're Presbyterians, we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Most of the rest of us pray the Lord's Prayer by saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. One suggests sin of omission, something we fail to do. The other indicates sin of commission, that which we did that we should not have done. Regardless of our religious tradition, O Lord, grant that Alaskans will neither omit nor intentionally commit failure to pay funds borrowed from the state's newly expanding loan program. Amen.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask that the prayer be spread in the journal.
No objection. The prayer will be spread in the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 129th day in House Supplement number 73.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 129th day and House Supplement number 73 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and the journal supplement will stand approved. Are the guests for introduction to the House this morning? Representative Guy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning it is a pleasure to be introducing a constituent who works in the Attorney General office in Bethel and has a promising future in Gallery A, Yako Andrews.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a friend of mine from Anchorage and Gallery A, C.C. Height.
There are further guests for introduction. Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I've read the following and I'm transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 60, Annual Girl State at Sitka, Legislative Resolve number 23, Senate Concurrent Resolution number 61, 14th Annual Boy State at Camp Carroll, Legislative Resolve number 24. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 67, amended House, directing the state to take measures to protect Alaskan interests in NEFCO bankruptcy, Legislative Resolve number 26. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 509, Rules, making a special appropriation to the Alaska Permanent Fund effective date, Chapter 35, SLA 1980. House Bill number 930, increasing the number of Superior Court judges effective date, Chapter 34, SLA 1980. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order, Representative Meekins?
Speaker, the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 1 will meet at 10:30. To go over some preliminary information, organizing, etc.
There are further messages from the Governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate has concurred in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 438, Finance Amended House, relating to energy. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 551, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 551, amended House, Professional Licensing and Regulation of Practice of Optometry, effective date. The Senate concurred in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 470, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 470, amended House, Inherent Risks of Skiing, effective date. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill number 523 amended, thus adopting House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 523, Public Utilities effective date. The Senate passed committee substitute for House Bill number 778, Taxation of Electric Cooperatives effective date, and it is returned. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate passed committee substitute for House Bill number 997 amended, Regulation of Certified Public Accountants and continuing the existence of the Board of Public Accountancy effective date, and it is returned. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution number 35, Study of a Rail Line from Fairbanks to the Ladue Valley with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 35, new title, and it is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 931 amended, transferring the Council on Science and Technology from the Department of Environmental Conservation to the Department of Administration effective date with the following amendment. This has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. And so committee substitute for House Bill 931 amended Senate is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 64 amended by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, requesting the governor to direct the Department of Fish and Game to conduct a study relating to the restocking of Anchorage and Fairbanks lakes and streams.
Resources.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 59, a special appropriation for a feasibility study of a Portage to Whittier transportation system effective date, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 59 and recommends that it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Haugen, and Schaefer. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 59 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227 relating to insurance for alcoholism and drug dependence under consideration a second time. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227 Hess and attaches a fiscal note and recommends that it be referred to the Finance Committee. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, signing Dupass, Munson, Buchholz, and Byrne, signing no recommendation, Miles, Chatterton, and Hurlburt. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227 has no further referral.
Senate Bill 227 does have a substantial fiscal note, will be referred to the Finance Committee.
I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Margaret McVeigh by Representative Eliason. House Concurrent Resolution number 73. On your list it says 74, but that's the wrong number. House Concurrent Resolution number 73 by the Rules Committee relating, is that right? Yeah. Relating to the Ketchikan and Northern Terminal.
Community and Regional Affairs.
House Joint Resolution number 89 by the Rules Committee, requesting the Economic Development Administration to support the interests of the City of Saxman in the Ketchikan and Northern Terminal.
Community and Regional Affairs.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 784 by Anderson, an act relating to the maximum length of salmon net vessels. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 784 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 784 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, Jaroff, Osterbach, and Miles. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Resources Committee substitute for House Bill number 784 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Resources Committee substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 784 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 784 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 784 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the maximum length of salmon gill net vessels.
The question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 784. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
28 yeas, 3 nays.
House Bill 784 has passed the House. Representative Meekins?
Got a room change on the pre-conference committee on SB1. It'll be in Senate Finance.
What was the new number?
The pre-conference committee on Senate Bill 1 will be meeting in the Senate Finance Room on the fifth floor. Representative Cotton? House Police Entities. Will the House please come back to order? Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 962 by the Rules Committee by request, an act allowing credits against fisheries taxes and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 962 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 962 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Eliason, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 962 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 962 Finance and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing do pass Freeman, McKinnon, Rogers, and Haugen, having no recommendations, Smith, Schaefer, and Guy. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 962 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Finance Committee substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 962 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 962 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 962, financed by the Finance Committee, an act allowing credits against fisheries taxes and providing for an effective date.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, could we have an explanation of the bill?
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill and the one that follows it are an attempt by the state to try to assist in the marketing of Alaska seafood. Over the last few years, there have been a number of price increases in Alaskan seafood, and most of it's been due to one market, the Japanese market. And that has gone up quite rapidly from about an $8 million market in 1975, rising up to $200 million in 78, and 79 it's estimated to be about $300 million exported directly from Alaska to Japan. But the evidence is that we can't expect that market to increase any further, and in fact there may be slight decreases. We are pretty well taking care of the Japanese need for protein. There are a lot of other opportunities, though, for markets for Alaska seafood. We've got the rest of the United States, Europe, and Alaska seafood does have quite a large potential market in those areas, but there hasn't been a lot of promotion outside of Alaska king crab. For a number of years now, we've had what's called the Alaska King Crab Marketing and Quality Control Board, which has promoted Alaska king crab, and if you go into major restaurants anywhere around the country, they will list it as Alaska king crab. The purpose behind this bill and the next bill is to try to get the same thing going on Alaska salmon, on other shellfish, on sablefish, halibut, bottomfish from Alaska, to try to increase our marketing efforts. Now, last year, this body voted to increase the raw fish tax on fishermen. And it was at a time when we didn't have a lot of money. We thought we were in a rather tight situation. This year, the situation has changed somewhat. What House Bill 962 does is to allow a credit against fisheries taxes of any amount that is donated by a fisherman to a seafood association. And the bill envisions setting up a single association to work on quality control, developing and maintaining markets. The association would represent fishermen and processors from all over the state in all species of fish and shellfish. They would conduct market research, maintain their principal office in Alaska, but probably other offices around the country to try to promote Alaska seafood. And they wouldn't be promoting specific brands, but rather Alaska seafood in general. The 962 then sets up the procedures by which people can donate to the association, and it provides for the creation of a fisheries business tax donation fund. The legislature would appropriate into that fund, and the money would then be used for the quality control and the marketing program. There has been a handout placed on each member's desk by the speaker, which explains the bill in a little more depth and goes over the budget for the Seafood Foundation. I'll speak to that a little more on the next bill. Basically, finance cut out a reserve fund, trimmed out $500,000 from the program. This is basically an investment then in trying to promote Alaska seafood, and the hope would be that this investment would increase the price of Alaska fish and thus increase the amount of money coming into the state coffers through the fisheries taxes.
Any further questions or debate? Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 962. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
33 yeas, 4 nays.
House Bill 962 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 962 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call and the effective date clauses. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill 1002 by the Rules Committee by request. An act making a special appropriation to the Fisheries Business Tax Donation Fund in the Department of Revenue and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 1002 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 1002 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing Dupass, Freeman, McKinnon, Haugen, and Schaefer, signing no recommendations, Smith, Rogers, and Guy. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 1002 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. House Bill 1002, committee substitute for House Bill 1002 will be adopted. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 1002 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 1002 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 1002 by the Finance Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Fisheries Business Tax Donation Fund in the Department of Revenue and providing for an effective date.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to find out what the state's investing or what the $3 million is going to be used for and how.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This $3 million corresponds to the amount that the 15% of the fisheries taxes that would be credited against it that would be credited for donations into this program. The fiscal year 1981 program includes $200,000 to organize the Seafood Association, to do a membership drive, to take care of their promotional and technical committees. Their 1980 programs, the big one would be in the salmon area. That would include a program for canned salmon, both in food service and direct consumer, and the fresh frozen, both in food service and consumer. Total of that program is $1.3 million. In addition, $200,000 for the technical and quality assurance program for salmon, for shellfish and finfish. The remainder would go into a market survey to determine what the desired product forms are in both the U.S. and European markets. The shellfish program would be public relations, advertising, and product development for king crab and snow crab and some other shellfish. And then the finfish, $300,000 each for sable fish promotion, bottom fish promotion, and $50,000 for halibut promotion. I could go into any more detail if the member would like.
Are there further questions or debate? Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 1002. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
30 yeas, 6 nays.
House Bill 1002 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 1002 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Barnes. Your notice reconsideration is noted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 346 by the Rules Committee, an act relating to reports and records of fishermen, fish buyers, and fish processors, requiring the Department of Revenue to compute and report average wholesale prices for Alaska salmon, establishing procedures to secure information on the wholesale prices of Alaska salmon, and providing a penalty for failure to provide information on wholesale prices. We are in third reading, and I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Elias.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number one. By Representative Eliason. It starts page 1, line 21. It was duplicated and placed on each member's desk yesterday.
Is there objection to the motion to return to second reading? There's no objection. We're in second reading. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Representative Eliason. Page 1, line 21. It is on each member's desk.
Representative Elias.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption amendment number 1.
Yes. Representative Elias.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment is an attempt to balance the need for confidentiality in fish tickets versus the need for certain information on these tickets, which could be used for the collection of taxes in some municipalities and for the management of resources through government entities. Mr. Speaker, the commercial fishermen, like sport fishermen, are very cautious with their private fishing holes or things of that nature, and the necessity to keep this confidential and still allow this information to be used by Department of Fish and Game to manage the resource. And once you open up this confidentiality as it pertains to fish tickets, the less accurate the information is going to be in an effort to I'm sure it's human nature, Mr. Speaker, that a fisherman is going to, if he's even thinks that his competitor is going to find out where he's caught his fish and at what particular day and the amount of fish, certainly, Mr. Speaker, that information is not going to be accurate from then on. So what this does is strikes a balance where as an example, the borough of Bristol Bay will be allowed to tax fisheries products within the boroughs. As the information related to the borough would be only as it pertains to the total amount of fish caught, the value of that fish. As far as individual fishermen, that information would not be available to the borough. It also allows the North Pacific Management Council to obtain catch records in their effort to manage the resource in Western Alaska. But when they receive this information, Mr. Speaker, the information as it pertains to individual catches by individual boats or individual fishermen will not be a part of that information. They just want the raw data, and through this amendment, that's all they will receive is the raw data, and that's all they're really requesting.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I do support the amendment. When the bill passed yesterday, I was under the impression that the language that would prevent any specific information regarding names, vessels, locations, etc., was incorporated in the bill, but with the additional changes in the amendment, I think the problems that I would have had with the bill are no longer there, and would ask members to adopt the amendment.
Is there further objection? If there's no further objection, the amendment is adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 346, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 346 will be advanced to third reading. Will Clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 346 by the Rules Committee. The short title, requiring the Department of Revenue to compute and report average wholesale prices for Alaska salmon.
Question before the House, the final passage of Senate Bill 346 on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
30 yeas, no nays.
The House has passed Senate Bill 346 on reconsideration. The House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order, Representative Anderson?
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business.
We have a citation on the calendar.
Oh, excuse me.
Representative Moss, we have a citation on the calendar.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be shown a sponsor on this citation.
There's no objection. Representative Moss will be shown as a sponsor on the citation. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move the citation.
There's no objection.
Mr. Speaker, I object just for the purposes of a question.
Representative Byrne.
I'd like to ask Mr. Carney if he'd accept a small amendment to that. Just a second here, I've got my paperwork around. Yeah, it says honoring the Alaska Future Farmers. Mr. Carney, would you accept Alaska Future Tenant Farmers of America? Since they're not going to be able to own any land, I mean, you know, in this state, it's. Could you accept that amendment in all good faith?
Is there objection to adoption of citation? There's no objection. Citation is adopted. Representative Rogers.
I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor.
Are there other members? Rogers, Anderson. When somebody make a motion? Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move that all members of the body be shown as co-sponsor.
There's no objection. All members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors. Representative Anderson, we're under unfinished business.
Finished business, Mr. Speaker. Sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 67, having to do with the White Pass and Yukon Railroad. The prime sponsor tells me it's ready to be adopted. So at this time, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 67, amended, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Joint Resolution 67, amended by the Senate. Ask members to vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the resolution?
Senate Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 67, amended Senate by the Rules Committee, relating to the upgrading of the White Pass and Yukon route.
Question for the House is a motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution Number 67. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
32 yeas, 1 nay.
House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution number 67. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we have also in the limo files, I'm sure today, House Bill number 836 having to do with state fish and game resources by use of state fish and game resources by aliens and non-residents. Prime sponsor tells me that this bill should go to free conference as I stated yesterday. So at this time I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 836 amended, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 836, and I ask members to vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 836 by the Resources Committee. An act relating to the use of state fish and game resources by aliens and non-residents and providing for an effective date.
Question before the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 836. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
2 yeas, 34 nays.
The House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 836. Will the House please stand at ease? Order. This time I'd like to appoint a free conference committee on House Bill number 836. Representative Hurlburt, Chairman, Representative Fuller, and Representative Barnes. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we do have another bill I'm sure is in the members' limbo file. It's House Bill number 878. The prime sponsors tell me that the bill is acceptable in its amended form and would ask members to vote yes on my motion to adopt the Senate amendments. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 878, thus adopting committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 878 amended by the Senate. Ask members to vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Have a brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Motion before the body is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 878. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, perhaps the sponsor could tell us what the Senate amendment was. I was just checking the journal. I noted I did vote for it, but I can't figure out just what the difference is.
Representative Fuller.
One simple change in it by regulation, Joe, and it didn't change the bill any, and we go along with it all the way.
It's on line 16. Question for the House, please stand at ease. Question for the House is the motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Bill 878. Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
House has adopted the Senate amendments to House Bill 878. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, in our limbo files also is House Bill number 931 having to do with the Council on Science and Technology. And prime sponsor tells me that the change by the other body is acceptable. And I would recommend that we vote yes on the bill. This time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill number 931 amended, thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill number 931 amended in the Senate, and ask members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 931, amended Senate by the State Affairs Committee. An act transferring the Council on Science and Technology from the Department of Environmental Conservation to the Department of Administration and providing for an effective date.
Question before the House is a motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Bill Number 931. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
34 yeas, 2 nays.
House has adopted the Senate amendments to House Bill 931. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and the passage of committee substitute for House Bill Number 931, amended Senate, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call in the effective date clause. Representative Anderson.
Speaker, the final bill for action today under unfinished business is committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number 35, study of rail line from Fairbanks to the Ladue Valley. The prime sponsor states that the Senate amendments, or the Senate amendment to this bill is meets with his approval and recommends that we vote yes. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House bill for House concurrent resolution number 35, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number 35.
Point of inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Yes. Is there a fiscal note on this? Or will this have to be taken care of in the legislature's FY81 budget for council?
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, there was a $30,000 fiscal note when it passed the House. I don't know of any changes in the Senate.
There is a fiscal note on a measure that has to be funded by the Free Conference Committee on the FY81 operating budget. Question, will the clerk please read the resolution by title?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 35 by the Finance Committee relating to cost-benefit analysis of rail lines.
Question for the House, the motion to adopt the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution Number 35. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
House has adopted the Senate amendments, House concurrent resolution number 35. Are there other items of unfinished business to come before the House? The House, please stand at ease. Back to order. Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, I move to hold over House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375 for one more legislative day.
Representative Branson moved to hold over the reconsideration of Senate Bill 375 for one legislative day. Is there objection? There's no objection. Reconsideration is held over. Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to hold over House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 374 for one legislative day.
Representative Branson has moved to hold over the reconsideration of Senate Bill 374 for one legislative day. Is there objection? If there's no objection, reconsideration will be held over. Are there other items of unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., the House Commerce Committee will consider Senate Bill 60, which was returned back from rules last week, which relates to the Alaska Transportation Commission. I think it's the committee's intention, and it is the chairman's intention, to move out a committee substitute tomorrow morning on that bill. Also, we will consider Senate Bill 544, relating to the sunset extension on hairdressers and beauty culture and barbers and so forth, and any other loose ends or bills that we've had previously before us that have not been taken out yet. Try to make it our last meeting except for end of the session emergencies.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock on Senate Bill 223, the Lands Bill.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Free Conference Committee on House Bill 75 will meet in Judiciary at 1:30 today, and the Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock on Senate Bill 367, Saving Loan Associations, Senate Bill 110, Availability of Driver's Records, and Senate Bill 332, Huntington and Trans-Alaska Pipeline Corridor.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Hess Committee will meet at 1:30 today on House Bill 488, Class Size, Senate Bill 549, Amended, Creating Board of Nursing Home Administrators, and Senate Bill 522, Compact for Education.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, rules will meet at 1 o'clock to consider a final amendment to Senate Bill 315.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, Finance Committee will meet at 1:30. On the agenda this afternoon will be Senate Bill 539, Appropriation to Alaska Medical Facilities, Senate Bill 10, Assistance to Nonprofit Hospitals, Senate Bill 165, Telecommunications Capital Appropriation, Senate Bill 436, Grants, Water Supply, Sewer System, Solid Waste Facilities, Senate Bill 358, Compensation Fish and Game Boards, House Bill 638, Transportation Planning and Reports, House Bill 812, Establishment of Commission to Secure Equality and Justice, House Bill 968, Cost of Living Adjustment Aid to Families Dependent Children, House Bill 651, Established Alaska Community College System, House Bill 125, Multipurpose Youth Centers, and SCR 50, Extend the Life of Blue Ribbon Commission on the State Personnel Act. Mr. Speaker, due to the two facts, the length of the agenda, the fact that some of the members will be absent for free conference committees, I would respectfully request that the members don't sit around and wait for an engraved invitation to show up.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the Ombudsman Selection Committee will be meeting this afternoon, probably at 3, but if members are interested in attending that meeting, they should probably contact me to be sure, because that time is kind of subject to Senate availability, too. But we will be meeting sometime this afternoon. It'll probably be in Senator Cotullo's office, but again, contact my office or his for the exact time and place.
Representative McKinnon.
The Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 84, dealing with unitization of oil and gas leases, will meet at 3 in the Senate Finance Chambers.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, may we move to special orders?
If there are there further announcements? We're under special orders, Representative Byrne.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I wanted to speak on conflict of interest. The issue was raised in yesterday's Anchorage Times on the front page, where it says Byrne fails to stall measure, meaning the hospital measure. And we had a meeting in, of the Health Committee and discussed and considered House Bill 1030, which dealt with the nonprofit corporations being refinanced by with state funds, the Alaska hospital issue. And during the course of that meeting, I was interested in asking a number of questions, and one member of the House, Mr. Chattison, raised the question of conflict of interest. And the newspaper quotes him as follows, and I'll read it to you, because I think it's important not only for myself, but for all members of the body here. He says, I was absolutely certain Mike Byrne would rise above any conflict of interest, said Anchorage Republican Chad Chatterton. Well, Mr. Chatterton is quite correct in every sense of the word. I do rise above any conflict of interest. I have a direct interest in this, but it's not a conflict of interest, Mr. Speaker. And the same is true of every member of this body in practically every subject that we discuss here. And I think that, as I say, I'm not defending myself. I'm defending, in fact, all members of this body. Fishermen, for example, as yourself, you know, every bill that comes on this calendar of a fishing bill nature could be considered to be a conflict of interest with yourself or with other members who are fishing members here. And that's a problem. I recognize that. But that doesn't mean that you can't go, you know, lobby for those interests or work for those interests or ask questions and interrogate witnesses and do your thing. But what we do expect of each member is that we expect that member to be above a direct conflict of interest, to be honest and forthright, and step forward and be recognized. And I do that, and I think other members of the House do it also. I don't think a person should be silent on these issues, particularly like in this area of the hospital issue. I've been working on a hospital in Anchorage now for 10 years, and I consider myself to be rather an expert in this area. Certainly, I don't know anybody in the state who has worked harder nor longer nor spent more money on a project of a hospital nature than I have. And so I don't think I should be silent. I should raise issues that are pertinent to the question before the body. That's my responsibility as a member of this House. That's everybody's responsibility to do those things, and I should do it. And other members shouldn't be concerned about whether it's a conflict of interest unless they can find some very positive, information to the contrary. We have in the case of, I see Mr. Carney has stepped off the floor, but he's chairman of the agricultural committees, and he himself is a farmer. I call him a gentleman farmer, but I won't do that today since he's not here. But in fact, as chairman of those special committees, he is in a position to, see that agricultural loans are made to that sector and so forth. And no one would consider that he had a conflict of interest. We would consider that he was working for the best interest of his constituents and the best interest of the state. We have our before us SB1, the State Loan Committee, and certainly probably two-thirds of the members of the House will take advantage of that bill. They'll participate in it in some way or other as citizens, and they should. That's the way our system works. But that doesn't mean that there's a conflict of interest between everybody who gets a house loan or a commercial loan or a business loan and their interest in this loan bill, SB1. Lots of times we get very virtuous, and got to remember the other day, let's see if he's here. Yeah, Mr. Freeman's here. Got to say this about him. The other day when we were talking about the Capitol move, he got up and he just oozed virtue, We get so virtuous. God, we get virtuous. And he just oozed it, It was practically running up the aisle. It was so much of it here, And we all do that, And I think Mr. Chatterton may have done the same thing. He got very virtuous. And what actually happened was that Mr. Chatterton, has been 40 years with the oil and gas industry. I guess he's retired from him. He's a consultant to Rowan Company. He's got a vested interest in oil and gas. But I don't think of him as having a conflict of interest, and I hope nobody else does. And I don't want him to think that I have a conflict of interest. Every time an oil and gas bill comes up, we want him to give his views on it. We expect him to ask questions on it. But we don't think he's got a conflict of interest there. We expect him to rise above it. We expect him to, and we have a right to demand that he does. And I think he does, to the best of my knowledge. In the case of the Alaska hospital issue, at that committee meeting, it's true, I did place an amendment on the bill, and I would do it again and hope the first chance I get, because the amendment that I would place on the bill is an amendment that is long overdue, the original language of the bill that was created came directly as a result of the lobbyist activities of the competitive hospitals in the Anchorage area. It simply said that any hospital that was grandfathered in, had to go back through the health planning process and have their approval before it could get financing through this bond authority. Well, the only way to finance hospitals today is through tax-exempt bonds. So that meant the Lake Otis Hospital project had to go back through the planning process to get funding. That doesn't seem bad. Accepting that, the other hospitals' administrators and their staffs sit on the health planning groups that are going to make the judgment concerning the competitive hospital. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's conflict of interest right there, better than anything you ever saw in your life. And both Providence Hospital and the Alaska Hospital have administrators and staff members right on those planning councils. And there is no way in the world to get anything by them. But that's the system. That's the way it works. So any time that I can correct unfair legislation, I want to do it. And our organization, the Lake Otis Clinic, Lake Otis Hospital Group, has a right to ask that legislation be changed. It's unfair. There's a lot of unfairness in our system, and I recognize that. There's a lot of injustice, but still the best system we have. In the specific case of the Alaska Hospital that comes before us, the promoters of this legislation are saying they're saying three things primarily: that the Department of Labor, United States Department of Labor, wants that hospital sold. That's nice. That's fine. But I haven't seen a single piece of paperwork on it, and I don't know anybody else who's seen any paperwork on it. If the United States Department of Labor insists that this Teamster Pension Fund sell that hospital, they ought to put it in a piece of paper and write it to somebody, but there isn't anything on paper on it. Not a single thing. You know, it's almost as if we're getting a snow job, and if we are, we ought to know about it. This thing is greased, as Mrs. Buchholz had suggested in the newspapers the other day. Then that's what it is, but let's not waste any more time on it. If the, in the matter of, I raised the question there also of assets. The Alaska Hospital owns another multi-million dollar building across Anchorage. It has no connection to it. They rent it to the city. The city makes out its checks directly to the Alaska Hospital. I asked the representative from the hospital, did in fact the Alaska Hospital own this multi-million dollar building? Yes, the Alaska Hospital does, collects rents on it. Why don't you sell it? Well, they haven't had a good buyer yet. Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Chairman, several years ago when our hospital project went on the rocks and we were floundering around, we did the same thing any other business person would do. We sold off assets at 50 cents on the dollar and paid off the banks $1.5 million in cash. And we paid off our debts. And we took the licking. And I'm saying this, that if the Teamster Hospital, the Alaska Hospital, if the Teamster Pension Fund wants to get rid of that problem that they have, and the Department of Labor says it's a lousy investment, they want them to get rid of it, that's the message. If that is true, then the Teamster Pension Fund ought to sell that off to the highest and best bidder. You know, they shouldn't be selling it off at 100 cents on the dollar. And I think that's they should sell off that office building they have that they rent to the city, and they should sell off the hospital project at the fair market value, whatever that is, and it's not 100 cents on the dollar. You know, it raises the question of what is the proper use of the taxpayers' money, and that's what we're talking about. Is this the correct and proper use of the taxpayers' money? And if the body decides that is the correct and proper use of the taxpayers' money, well, then that's the way the system works. But in the meantime, there's a lot of questions that are unanswered. There's a lot of questions that need answering, and I don't mind answering or asking these questions at all. And in conclusion, I'd just like to say that we all live in glass houses, and nobody ever knows where that old spotlight's going to stop. And one member of the body can be in the newspapers today for some major problem, and tomorrow another member will be in the paper. And that spotlight will stop on one member from time to time, and we should never forget that. Thank you. We all live in glass houses.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, if I may speak for a moment on adjournment.
Representative Martin.
Thanks, sir. Mr. Speaker, last week I was really pleased and hopeful and wishful and everything else that we would be going home, because I knew the minority leader had set up a goal that Friday the 23rd would be our target date for getting out of this place. And, you know, that made me feel real good, and I began packing up and also began doing a little business and telling my customers I'll be there. Don't buy from the other guy because, you know, I got a better deal for you. But then I found out that things aren't going to work out that smooth. And I'd like to ask leadership, is there a new goal in line? Because I believe in setting up a goal, and we're more apt to make it that way. And I'm sorry that we didn't make the goal that was set up for tomorrow. Is there any possibility of knowing what the new goal is?
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I think it's pretty obvious what some of the goals are. We've got a couple of very major bills in free conference right now, including the budget and SB1, the loans bills. And in addition to many other bills that people are interested in seeing through, I think that my goal, and I think the goal of the minority leader, as he stated the other day, he wanted to see a good Senate Bill 1 pass, and we shouldn't rush into it. We should be deliberate and come up with a good product. And that includes the budget. And those aren't the only two bills that remain, but I think that my goal is to make sure that those two come out in good fashion.
Representative Anderson.
I'm glad that the minority leader set a goal for 20. What was it? 23rd? Okay, the 23rd. Well, that's great. And I'm working and doing everything I can to make sure that happens. Of course, I don't think it is. No, we can't be right all the time, but I don't think it was the minority leader that had set that unrealistic goal, as it appears to be now. I do know that there are a lot of people, though, that want to get out of here. And even though we all have some worthy goals and objectives that we want to achieve prior to the time we adjourn, I think there's a tremendous pressure developing to adjourn sine die. And you can believe me when I say this, that we're going to be encouraging the free conferees on various bills to get going. If they don't get their job done within in an orderly fashion and a timely fashion, I'm going to be recommending to the speaker that they be discharged and put in people that can get the job done. I think adjournment is very, very close at hand, so I don't think anybody should take any steps to unpack their bags. I think they should be prepared to leave on very short order.
The members' information that some people have asked what we're going to do this weekend, and I think generally we're going to work and have session. I think for certain we'll have session on Saturday. Whether we have session on Sunday kind of remains to be seen as to how everything's going on the free conferences. But members should reserve Sunday for working, not make other plans. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, on the same subject, I have a bet on the 26th of May, and I think I'm going to miss it by 3 days. And I missed the Nenana ice break up by 14 minutes, so maybe that means something. Mr. Speaker, under special orders, I'd like to follow up Dr. Burns' remark and talk about glass houses.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, there's a old story that has a much longer version than this that talks about the Polynesian king and queen who got a big fancy king-size bed from Sears Roebuck, but in order to fit it into their hut, they had to take their thrones and lash them to the ceiling of the hut. In the middle of the storm, the thrones fell down and crushed them on their new king-size bed, and the moral was that people who live in grass houses shouldn't stow thrones.
Representative Anderson, we're nearing that time of day.
I move the House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.